The National Park Service turns 100 years old this month, so this summer we're taking a tour of some of the country's national parks. Today, Florida's Everglades National Park. And joining us now is Alan Scott, who's the Chief of Resource Education and Interpretation at the park. He's with us via Skype. Alan, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And for people who have never met this park, who have never been to Everglades National Park, describe it for us.
Everglades National Park is at the southern tip of Florida. And if you're not from this area, it's hard to comprehend. It's sort of a mix of environments between the Caribbean and North America. And the park was really established for what's alive, plants and animals. And it's a great place to experience wildlife.
And there is a lot of wildlife there. So tell us some of the different animals that you can find in the park.
So some of the wildlife that you can see in Everglades National Park is alligators. All of South Florida is known for that. But we have trails that go into alligator habitat. And the wildlife in Everglades National Park is not fed, is not hunted. And they were born and raised with people walking by. So you can see them in their natural environment behaving like they would in nature. And they basically ignore us. And I like to say that some of our trails are like a National Geographic special every day. You don't have to look for hours for wildlife. You just walk a few minutes down a trail and you can see birds and fish and turtles, different kinds of butterflies and alligators.
You know, I've been many times to Everglades National Park and have driven through on the way from the eastern part of Florida to the western part of Florida and back. And one of the things I must say that you notice there immediately are the birds, and there are a lot of them. Tell us about some of the interesting birds that you have.
So one of the types of animals that Everglades is most famous for is birds, specifically wading birds. And there are egrets and herons and wood storks. There are birds called roseate spoonbills. There are shore birds that you would call seagulls. The reason that birds are in this area is because of the diverse habitats and the mix of freshwater and saltwater in the Everglades that creates a great food source. And the other aspect of it is that we have a seasonal cycle of flooding, and then we have a dry season in the winter that concentrates the fish. And that's what has really attracted the birds to the Everglades, is because when the fish are concentrated, it's easy for them to catch the fish and then raise their young.
You know, one of the animals that we haven't talked about in the park is the panther, right? The Florida panther.
The Florida panther is one of our endangered species. It's a huge cat. If you ever see one, they can be 8 or 9 feet long from tip of nose to tip of tail. It's a big animal. So we have a Florida panther population that we like to say is around a dozen animals. And the park is right next to Big Cypress National Preserve. And that is right next to the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge. So South Florida is one of the best habitats for the Florida panther.
Well, how did the Everglades National Park become a national park?
Everglades National Park was the first national park in the United States that was set aside as a national park because what's alive, the plants and the animals, and the ecosystems that support those plants and animals. Today we know the Everglades as a river of grass. But that term was coined by Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in 1947, only the same year that the park was established. Prior to that, people didn't really understand that it was a river, and they saw what was wetlands, known as Everglades, as worthless land to be developed. And so a lot of the Everglades had been drained and developed prior to the park being established. Something else that happened is at the turn of the 1800s to the 1900s, that period of time, there was a fashion for women to wear feathers in their hats. And the feathers are plumes from birds that were nesting in the Everglades and other wetlands around the world. And the time that people hunted for those feathers was when those birds were on their nest with their chicks. And so they would the hunters would go kill the adult birds for their plume feathers that they had because they were in breeding season. And so those population of wading birds were nearly wiped out. And that brought a lot of attention to the area that is now in Everglades National Park.
Now, of course, the Everglades National Park is in the Everglades, which is in the middle of a lot of development in South Florida. How has all the development affected the park? Because we know that in the Everglades more broadly, the roads that have been built over the many decades to cut across Florida are a problem because they stop the flow of water. But what about the development in general for the park?
One of the unique aspects about Everglades National Park is it's a natural area. It was set aside to preserve the plants and the animals in this area, and it relies on the flow of fresh water. And Everglades National Park is actually really big. It's 1,500,000 acres. But within 50 miles of that park, there are almost 7 million people living next to it. So it's an amazing mix or juxtaposition of people and wilderness side by side. The development around the park manages the water, and it manages the water to keep what used to be wetlands dry for development purposes. And it also manages the water to hold water for water supply for the people in South Florida, because the water that's in the Everglades is also the water supply for the people of South Florida. And there are roads and there are water management structures that manage all this water for the people and for the natural system. One of the roads on the northern park boundary is the Tamiami Trail. And as part of the Everglades restoration efforts, we have worked with the state of Florida and with many other agencies to add bridging across that trail that would allow more water to go into the park in the right places in the right amount at the right time. And in this last year, we've tested that with our first new bridge and has been very successful, adding water back into the Everglades within Everglades National Park.
How long have you been working in the Everglades?
I've been working in the Everglades for about 25 years.
Wow. And what's your favorite thing to do in the park after all that time?
So one of the things that I like to do that most people don't like to do is go walking in the water off the road and off the trail. And we call that slough slogging. And so you walk out in the water more than ankle up to knee deep, and you're out there standing in an open prairie where you can see from horizon to horizon Everglades.
And you don't have to worry about alligators?
Well, there are alligators and lots of other animals in that water. However, those animals are very much afraid of us for the most part when you get into their habitat like that. And so they tend to leave. But you can have really amazing experiences by getting out and being personal with the Everglades like that. But there are other activities that are easy to do. There's an area of the park called Snake Bite, spelled B-I-G-H-T. That's a bay next to an area called Flamingo, and it's terrific to take a canoe out of Flamingo. It's a short half an hour paddle to an area called Snake Bite, and the bird watching and the wildlife watching is just amazing.
Well, Alan Scott, park ranger at Everglades National Park in Florida, thank you so much for joining us, and stay safe in the water, please.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
And we will be broadcasting from a national park later this month for the 100th anniversary of the Park Service. I'm not going to tell you which one right now, but it will be historic as long as the technology works from where we will be. So stay tuned for that and send us your photos from your visits to the national parks. You can tweet at me at Jeremy Hobson on Twitter. That's at Jeremy Hobson.